presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. Once again, we trust that you had a marvelous Resurrection Sunday and that you know that nothing is impossible for God. And we want to encourage you, like I told you before, the title of our message on Easter Sunday was Fake News versus Good News. And I am so thankful that the Word of God tells us that which is true. And if you have been told something that doesn't line up with the Bible, don't give that thing the credibility. Give the Word of God the credibility. It's settled forever in heaven and on earth. You know, I'm constantly amazed at the number of times that theories change in men's mind, but the Word of God is settled forever. It is not going anywhere. That when God makes a decree, there is never an oops. I remember hearing one time, what is the one word that you never want to hear your surgeon say? And that word is oops. I know this. God's never going to say oops or oopsie. He's never going to say, you know, I failed to take that into consideration. God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what he said. He's meant what he said. And man has never come up with a better way to live than by the Word of God. And so today we're going to be looking at that word. It is the resurrection season, and I pray that miraculous things are taking place in your life and that souls were saved throughout Brevard County, because we need more people actively engaged in reaching this community with the good news of Jesus Christ than we have currently. We need it to be a multi-generational front that is engaging the kingdom of darkness and bringing people, prisoners of war. I remember an Easter service that I did another illustrated sermon where we literally brought prisoners of war out of captivity. And so we pray that lives were transformed this last weekend. So we're going to take you to this morning to 1 John chapter 4 is where we're going to be. If you turn to Revelation, you turn to the left just a few books. You've got the Epistle of Jude, 3 John, 2 John, and then 1 John. And so if you're looking for it, that's where we're going to be today, 1 John chapter 4. You see, there was spiritual warfare. It wasn't just a political thing that was going on. It wasn't a socioeconomic thing that was going on with Jesus' life and his ministry and his death and burial and resurrection. It was a spiritual battle. There had been people who were demon-possessed that were delivered. There were people who were raised from the dead. There was spiritual warfare that is going on, and I'm sure that in your life there is spiritual warfare that goes on as well. I do want to remind you, tomorrow night we are going to have an evangelist with us for our adult service at Merritt Assembly of God, 7 p.m. to about 7:45. We're going to have Mike Peterson. He's been with us before, and he's going to be filling in for me tomorrow night. My wife and I are away ministering to her family, and so I just want to encourage you to come on out and be a part of what takes place tomorrow night. That would be April the 19th, 7 p.m. at Merritt Assembly of God. This coming weekend, we will be returning. We've got a men's conference that's coming up this weekend, so we'll be flying back in for that. And Sunday morning, we've got a fruit of Brevard County ministry. We've got a missionary, Jeff Stout, that is going to be with us. Jeff was in our youth group when I was a youth pastor down in Melbourne a long, long time ago. And he's younger than I am, but God has used Jeff mightily to impact the young people of Europe. And he's going to come and share a word, but it's not just going to be a missions message. This last week when we talked about fake news versus good news, that was the launch of a series that we're going to be doing over the next several weeks. Jeff is going to come and be ministering in line with that series. And so we want to rejoice with what God has done. He actually helped set up a rally in Europe where young people from all over Europe came, and they were in the exact same stadium that Hitler had used to launch his youth movement many, many decades earlier. And so I'm very thankful. I can't wait for our congregation to hear everything that God did. There were people who were in America that were wanting to touch Europe, and they said, you know what, you've already laid all of the groundwork. Can we just come along and partner with you to accomplish great things there in the continent of Europe? And so that's going to be coming up this weekend. If you maybe went to school with Jeff when he was a teenager, or you've known him or his family, he's going to be with us Sunday morning at 10:30. That's what's coming up this week. Like I said, my wife and I will be back. We're flying in Friday morning, and as soon as I get here, I turn right around and go back to Orlando. Come back that night, turn right around and go back to Orlando again on Saturday. Come back Saturday afternoon, and then we will be having church Sunday morning and Sunday night. We want you to be there. 1 John chapter 4, we're talking about this spiritual warfare that is going on. And verse number 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And so here in this particular passage, there are two contrasting spirits that are mentioned, and there's two different contrasts that are mentioned in this particular passage. You know, the Jesus ministered in the power of the power of God. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was ministering. And there was also demonic spirits that were in activity. There was the spirit of truth, and that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about here. And the spirit of error, that's another one. There's the spirit of Christ and the spirit of Antichrist. In verse number 24 of chapter 3, it says, "And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." There should be a spiritual transition that takes place when Jesus comes into our heart, where we no longer operate according to the spirit of the flesh, but we operate by the Spirit of the living God. It is the gift of God. It is not anymore something that you can earn or you can work yourself up to than you can to earn your salvation. It is the free gift of God. And he says, I want to give you my spirit to confirm the reality that I am living inside of your life. Here in a few weeks, my wife and I have got to go, and we've got to renew our driver's license. And they sent us a list of items that we must bring whenever we're renewing that license to demonstrate and to verify that we actually live where we say that we live. Jesus provides that verification by the Holy Spirit whom he gives us. This is in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 24. He is the verification that Jesus resides within us. You see, there is genuine grace, and then the Bible also describes a counterfeit grace. It kind of looks like grace. It resembles grace. It might be a doppelganger for grace, but it is not in grace in reality. I've had several people through the years, and they've come up to me and said, has anyone ever told you that you look like Wayne Gretzky? And I said, well, I assure you that if I put on ice skates, I will not look like Wayne Gretzky. I would imagine that he is taller than I am. I know that he is a lot wealthier than I am, and I know that he can skate better than I can. So even though I might look like him, I am not him. And for me to go out and say that I am him, I would be a counterfeit. I would be a fraud. And you see, the authentic is never afraid to be verified or authorized or examined. You can trust it. You can rely it. And that's the way it is with the grace of God. When Jesus is living inside of you, you're not afraid for anybody to examine the fruit of your life, because you know that by their fruit you will know them. The people right now who are saying, hey, don't judge me, don't examine me, don't test me, don't prove me, those are not the people with a genuine relationship with God, because God says, prove me in this. See if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. He said, by their fruits you shall know them. And so you and I, we can very much look at the word of God. When that word judge not is used, it means don't condemn people. So we are not judging people to find out whether or not we're going to condemn them to hell. That's not my place. My place is to preach the word of truth in the spirit of love, so that you will change course, you will embrace Jesus and allow Jesus to be the Savior and Lord of your life. But I am not a judge of God's word either. God is the one who sent that word, and so I'm the one who says, I believe it. God said it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or whether I believe it doesn't change the veracity that what God has said is true. You know, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, you can choose to disbelieve that or not, but it doesn't change the fact that the sun is in the sky and it is bringing illumination, and it's not ceased from its function. God said, if you can break my covenant with the day and with the night, then you can rest assured that I will break my covenant with you. But God's covenant with them is still holding. So believe the word of God or not doesn't change the reality of it at all. So another person came to me and they said, has anybody ever told you that you look like Bill Gates? Now, honestly, with these two, I can, you know, see a few facial similarities from time to time. But if you compared my computer skills with that of Bill Gates, you would find out very quickly that I am not Bill Gates. Also, if you looked at our bank accounts, you would find I was Bill Gates. Another person said, hey, has anybody ever told you that you look like Prince Charles? And I said, what did I ever do to you that you wanted to compare me with him? I might have some facial similarities to people. My appearance might remind people of others, but I want to have the authentic documentation that I carry around that says I am Bob Arthurs. And so a few weeks ago, we were at Island Community Church, and a person came up to me and said, are you Bob Arthurs? And I said, yes, I am. She said, you might not remember me, but I had this interaction with you, and I remembered who she was. And the way that this went about, she said, I had to show my identification, and she said, are you Bob Arthurs? And I said, yes. And she said, your voice doesn't sound the same. Can you speak a little bit more so that I can know for a fact that it is your voice? And I said, good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio. And she said, that's it. You're the person. And so the Spirit of God confirms the reality that Jesus is living in your heart and in your life. If you're a child of God, you're not wanting to continue in sin. If you're a child of God, you're wanting to delight yourself in doing the will of God. If you're a child of God, you realize that there is spiritual kingdom business that needs to be done, and that there are multitudes in the valley of decision, and you are going to want to be about the Father's business. If you've got the Spirit of God inside of you, you're going to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. You are going to love your neighbor that you do see because you are in love with the God that you cannot see. There's going to be a spiritual transformation. If you got up the same way that you went down, you know, I tell people, if you were baptized and you identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet you came up and you still had the desires to do the same things that you have always done, all you did was get wet. And so I'm thankful for the authentication process. So here in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God." A spirit that is from the kingdom of God will always identify Jesus Christ as Lord, not just on an intellectual level, not just on a verbal level, but on an actuality relational basis. That spirit will realize or will acknowledge readily and humbly, look, Jesus Christ is the only one who deserves to be worshiped. So I encourage you to worship him and make sure that those spirits are pointing people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit never draws attention to himself. He's always pointing people to Jesus. I told you that we're very excited about our 65th anniversary service that is coming up, the Refresh 2017 conference. It's going to be June the 10th and June the 11th, Saturday night, June the 10th, Sunday morning, June the 11th. And Steve Hill, the evangelist that impacted the nation and really the world back from 1995 to 2000 through the revival that took place at Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida, his widow, Jerry Hill, is going to be ministering. And I tell people, the thing that made Brownsville so exciting, it wasn't the songs, it wasn't the manifestations, it was the fact that 150,000 people gave their heart to Jesus in a five-year period of time. That is 30,000 people over a five-year period of time. That means almost 6,000 people a year were giving their heart to Jesus. That's 500 people a month. That's a lot of people. What would Brevard County look like if 500 people a month were giving their heart to Jesus? Well, let me just tell you, there's only about 500,000 people living in Brevard County. And so that means that in 1,000 months and an 8.5 year period of time, we could see the whole county changed by people giving their heart to Jesus. We need revival. And so that's why we invited her to speak at our Refresh 2017 conference, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do. I hope that you'll put that on the calendar and that you will be a part of that. You test the spirits whether they are of God. The Holy Spirit is always pointing people to Jesus. He's always bringing people to the place of redemption. There's another spirit that operates. It's not the Spirit of God. It is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, there is a person, the Antichrist, and then there is the spirit behind the person of the Antichrist, and that's a demonic spirit who is refusing to acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, lived a holy life, died upon the cross, shed his blood for our sins, was striped upon his back for healing, had his beard plucked out, was crucified, and was buried in the ground and rose again on the third day and has ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to intercede for the saints and prepare a place for them, that where he is, there we may be also. Any spirit, any person that denies that reality is not a spirit from God. You need to excommunicate that voice from being a spiritual influence in your life. Shut it off. Okay? And so you and I need to recognize this is the litmus test. This is the spiritual litmus test. A lot of times we hear about litmus tests for judges as they are being confirmed or examined for confirmation of where do you stand on this issue. I believe judicial philosophy goes a lot deeper than just one issue, but for me, I do have a litmus test, and that is where do you stand on life? Where do you stand on life? Do you think that you have the ability to kill that which God has given life to? And I'm not one who wants to avail myself of that. And so I want you to know that the 1 John chapter 4, verse number 3 says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. It literally means against the work of Jesus, against the person of Jesus, which you have heard was coming and is now already come. This was before 100 AD. And John, the disciple, is saying, look, there is a spirit that is already at work in this world. It is the spirit of Antichrist, where it positions itself against God. Now, I've told you that God opposes the shrewd, but there is a spirit of Antichrist that positions itself in hostility and enmity against the spirit of God. People who are fighting the ability to pray, the people who are fighting to keep young people from hearing about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, Jesus said that it would be better for a person that caused one of these young people to stumble that they had a millstone hung around their neck and thrown into the sea. I feel for those. Now listen, I'm not looking for their destruction. Jesus wasn't looking for their destruction. He was looking for their repentance. Parents, if you took your children and your grandchildren to church this last Sunday, thank you. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't just stop with them having an occasional encounter with God. Instead, train them up in the way that they should go when they are old or when they are young, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. So there is this spirit of Antichrist that is already, it is active in every civilization on the planet. It is fighting against God. It is fighting a losing battle, but it is fighting. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I've got a tremendous sermon about that, but I'm going to have to save that for another time. I just want you to know that the same Jesus that was raised from the dead is living in your heart, and he is greater than any attack that you might be having spiritually, any attack that you may be having relationally or financially or physically or emotionally. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. I need to get to this second spirit. I do want to touch on verse number 5, and it will tell you the way that the people of the world operate. They operate from the world from which they come. It said they are of the world. Okay, you and I are of God. That's what it says here. It says, we are of God. We are of God. They are of the world. There are two different perspectives, two different backgrounds, two different cultures, two different languages, two different motivations, two different goals. And it says, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. They are a mouthpiece for the world's philosophy. You and I, therefore, should be a mouthpiece, a spokesman for the kingdom of God. Where they are speaking error, we should be speaking truth. That's coming here in just a moment. And it says the world hears them. Now, here's the interesting thing. They are of the culture of the world. They speak from the world's perspective and the world's language, and the world hears them. They have created an echo chamber where they are just repeating the things that they've already heard. One of the things that always puzzled me was whenever I was writing a term paper in high school, they always wanted me to tell them what other people had said on a subject. They never really wanted to hear what I had to say on a subject. And you had to cite who it was that you were quoting. I always found that to be a little odd. I believe that we should be better at being a mouthpiece for God than what we are. We should be speaking to the people who are trapped in the world's kingdom of darkness. We should be speaking to them a language they don't understand, but they are intrigued by, so that they will hear that Jesus loves them. It goes on to say this: by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Truth and error are not just facts. There is a spiritual dynamic behind it. Satan is a liar and the father of it. That is his native language. Jesus is truth. There's a spiritual dynamic. There's a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. And so you've got to be able to discern which is which. This word for error means to be deceived, to be deluded or delusional, and to be in error. I hate it when I'm wrong, but if I am wrong, I admit when I'm wrong. If I'm on the wrong path, I want to be on the right path. I don't like being on the wrong path. And so I don't like to be deceived. I like for people to tell me the truth. And I certainly do not want to be operating from a delusional mindset, believing something that is not true. Maybe you are journeying through life and you're going through the wilderness right now, and you have thought that you have been seeing reality. There is a concept that when you are in an environment and you begin to dehydrate, that you begin to see mirages. You begin to see things that are not there. There's a difference between an oasis and a mirage. An oasis is what the children of Israel encountered when they were wandering through the wilderness, where they thought that they had been led out there to die, and all of a sudden they came to a place of oasis where there was water and there was a whole bunch of trees, and they were able to refresh themselves there in the middle of their journey. A mirage, it looks like something is on the horizon, that it's on its way, but in actuality, there's no substance behind the delusion. Today, if you've been believing the lies that the world has to tell you, I want to encourage you. I want to invite you to come and allow the Spirit of Truth to open up your understanding so that you can see where you are, what your condition is, and the condition that God wants you to be, how He wants you to operate in the spirit of love. Father, I want to thank you today for the spirit of truth that triumphs over the spirit of error. Lord, truth is never the victim of a lie. Truth always is victorious over deception. And God, I pray that today, if there's anybody who has been deluded by the spirit of Antichrist, today they would say yes to the spirit of the living God coming and bringing Jesus Christ into their hearts and causing them to be an overcomer in Jesus' name. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."